The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Good morning, everybody out there. I am not Doug or Wolf. I'm Luke Lipinski, and the man seated to my right is... You're not Doug or Wolf either, are you?
I disagree, Luke. Oh,
this was a turn of events.
Lucas.
I'm sorry. Was that your Doug impression?
Yes.
Okay. Jared Carlin is to my right. We know, I already regret it. We never should have introduced you and just let people try to figure out who you were.
I think they would have guessed. Unless they know the voice of Jackie the Jet Carlin, my father.
Yes.
I have a pretty signature voice.
Really? So do you sound a lot like your dad?
I do.
Okay.
On the phone especially, I guess people used to get us confused sometimes. Not used to, but still.
Okay.
Not. In fact,
you were five?
No, I sound more like him now than I did when I lived with him when I was a small child.
All right. How was your Thanksgiving there, buddy?
It was great. It felt like it just happened a few minutes ago.
It did.
You know, what I determined, because I woke up at 5:30 a.m. this morning, I know that's a luxurious sleeping in compared to when you probably woke up, but...
Today, yes. Not normally.
Not normally. 5:30 is got to be the cursed time of the day, the nightmare time, because it's the only time where at both a.m. and p.m. it's dark.
Oh, you mean like right now?
At this time of year. That's what I mean.
It is weird, and I'm obviously everybody listening, it goes through this probably if you're doing it today, you probably go through it pretty frequently, but when you wake up and it's still dark out, like that's why I think it feels like Thanksgiving was just 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's terrible, especially because when it's dark and cold, and miserable.
It's not that cold out.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not that cold out compared to, like, you know, Saginaw, Michigan. But
well, I guess you got me there. I don't know Saginaw's temperature off the top of my head.
It is Black Friday, though.
Yeah, did you get all your shopping done?
I did. I bought a corn popper.
Ew. What is that?
It's for, you know, in your feet when you get, like, the bunions thing, and it, like, takes off the...
But why'd you make it sound like popcorn?
Because that's what it really is, and I was making a joke.
Oh. Okay.
Never heard about corns on your feet?
No.
Come on, you gotta keep up with me. I know it's early. I'm bopping, I'm zinging, I'm zinging already.
This is not the definition of keeping up with you. This is slowing down to maintain your pace.
I don't know if this is I know that it's not a normal Black Friday, but so I don't even know how many stores are doing the normal stuff, because this could be the fine, much needed entertainment for those people sleeping in, you know, sleeping bags, trying to get a new PS5 right now outside of Walmart.
Or you could be driving around trying to find a parking spot, and here we are. Hopefully that's not the case, because there'll be a lot of people gathered together. You know what I realized? What I learned, I should say, over the last week? If you buy something online, when you put it in your cart, and this is not a PS5 thing. I know the PS5 is just absolute insanity. But just a normal item, if you put it in your cart, they can sell out of it while it's in your cart. So then when you go to finish your order, the item you wanted most just isn't there.
Interesting.
How is that possible?
You're saying within, like, the same order, not like you put it in your cart and a week later you check back.
Like,
this is like you're just shopping more. That makes sense.
Does it?
It doesn't make sense if you take the words literally, because it's if you were in a store, somebody wouldn't shove you and steal either steal your cart or take your thing out of your cart. But in the cyber world, until you purchase it, you're just...
You don't get like a 5 minute buffer? Like, I put 9 things in my cart the other day, and when I checked out, I had 7.
What were you buying that is so hot if it wasn't one of those PS5s?
There's 9 of your presents, but now I can't.
I only get
you
7 of them now?
Now you only get
Gosh,
7.
Dang. Well, luckily, Hanukkah is 8 days, so you only have one more that you need to get.
I gave 5 of them away, too, so now you're down to 2. I'm sorry. Did you watch any of the football yesterday?
I did. How do people start this show? Like, on the regular, on the show that I'm on, the Bickley and Murata show?
Yeah.
We have the splash, boom.
Yeah, the splash, boom.
Now we're just like...
Well, they have the starting five.
Oh, they do?
On this show, yeah, but I don't have it.
Oh, okay.
So before you give Jeff a heart attack behind the glass, we don't have that queued up.
Oh, okay. I did watch football, and the disappointing thing, and I sort of saw this coming, is that once they eliminated the Ravens-Steelers game, which was both the only game people actually wanted to see.
Yeah.
And the game, especially in Arizona, that's on at the best time.
Yes.
Sort of like either right when you're, you know, eating dinner or finishing dinner and stuff. I was like, ugh. So I watched the other two games, or I at least watched bits and pieces of it. But like, I really was like in the mood to watch a game last night.
Yeah.
Now, you as a Sun Devil honk got to watch the basketball game, I guess, and you're interested in that. But
I did get to watch that, and it was Josh Christopher looks pretty good at basketball. Unfortunately, not good enough to beat Villanova by himself.
I continue not to trust people with two first names.
What if I call him Joshua Christopher? Does that help?
No, because, well, Anthony Joshua has Joshua as a last name.
Okay. So does that make you feel better?
No, worse.
Okay. Let's get into the Cardinal stuff. They play the Patriots on Sunday.
And they were actually... Other than Lamar Jackson testing positive, the Cardinals were the biggest non-on-the-field football news in all of football yesterday.
Yeah. So Larry Fitzgerald is on the COVID reserve list. He's not going to play.
What? I was talking about Trent Sherfield.
Okay, I'll get to Trent Sherfield in a second. This is Fitz. This first game he's going to miss since 2014.
That's hard to believe, isn't it? I feel like, I guess there was games... in the last 6 years where he's been banged up and he played.
Yeah.
Because I remember going into weeks not knowing if he was going to play. Not recently, but in the last few years at least. Boy, what timing, huh?
I remember going into seasons off-seasons wondering if he was going to play the next
That's
year.
That's true. That's the last five off-seasons. You know, as pretty much compared to every other year of his career.
Yeah.
This is the year where the news of him not playing probably affects the team the least.
Well, he led the team in receptions last week.
Whoops. Though. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
That he's not as much a big a part of the game plan this year as he has in other parts of his career. But still, you know, he talked all week about, you know, how much he knows this is a big game and how down the stretch all these games are must wins. How he's had this long relationship with Bill Belichick and he can't wait to play the Patriots, and like you said, last week they may have probably used him the best as that they used him all year.
Yeah,
using him to get those big first downs and in big moments of the game. He still didn't have any big catches, as in like you know, a 40-yard catch or anything.
Yeah,
but he was great at getting those when you know third and six when you needed 7 yards kind of catches. And boy, it's disappointing that he is the guy. And I haven't heard anything. Maybe we are going to have Steve Keim on today at 7:45, so maybe we'll get an update on him. I haven't heard anything about how he's actually feeling, if it was asymptomatic or not. Because you're hoping that he's fine, he gets better quickly, and he's good to go next week. Because if this is a multiple week thing, when really, you know, the Cardinals have kind of put themselves in position where not every week is must win, but you can't really afford too many slip-ups. You'd hate to do it without Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm trying to find, too, now, I don't know why I can't find this, but just the exact number of his consecutive games with a reception streak, because I feel like, unless I did the math wrong, if he, look, every game Fitz plays, he's going to get a catch at this point. I think that's been pretty well established.
Sometimes that's all he'll get.
Well, so I'm trying to figure out, like, Jerry Rice's record is 274.
Uh-huh.
And I guess Fitz was only at 246. I feel like that's wrong, but whatever. Yeah. So, because I was thinking, like, if you play through all of next season, you're getting very close to Jerry Rice's record. And there's not a lot of Jerry Rice records that can fall.
Right.
But if he's going to miss a game, that is, it doesn't end the streak, but it certainly, I mean, he's only got so many of these. And I think the Cardinals need him against the Patriots, to be honest.
Only because... Other than DeAndre Hopkins, they haven't... I mean, Christian Kirk has had some good games, too. So Hopkins and Kirk, if you take them away, they haven't had other guys that have stepped up. Like, what's the combined pass-catch total from guys not named Fitz, Kirk, or Hopkins out of wide receivers?
It's ugly. Do you really want it this early on a...
Like, is it double digits, even? I mean, that...
Total receptions?
And I'm not counting Dan Arnold or you know, any of the tight ends. I'm saying other wide receivers, like the number three wide receiver right now, I guess, is Andy Isabella.
He's got 15 catches for 184 yards.
So he has double digits by himself.
And after that is Keyshawn Johnson with three, and Trent Sherfield, who's not playing, with one. So you shouldn't...
Is this the Andy Isabella game? Is that what you're implying
right now? I'm absolutely not implying that.
This is... If you're listening, fantasy people, Luke Lipinski implores you.
Nope. Unless you're playing against me. If you're playing against me, yes, pick up Andy Isabella and start him against me. They're going to need somebody to step up. Like,
out of all the receivers on the team, though, he is probably both figuratively and literally probably the easiest to pick up. Andy Isabella.
Yes, I guess so. Right. Okay. How many of these jokes do you have?
That's it. What do you mean, how many?
Well, I don't know. You already had your popcorn joke. If you are looking at this game from the Cardinals' perspective, how concerned are you? Because the Patriots, if you really just look at that team and you block out the uniforms for a second, they are not a good football team.
Right. So they lost to the Houston Texans, who are awful.
Well, so did the Lions.
Whoops. I mean, who would lose to the Lions, though?
That game doesn't even feel like that really happened this year, does it? The Lions are terrible.
I know.
And the Cardinals somehow lost to that team.
Yeah, the Panthers aren't so good either.
But the Panthers one doesn't bother me as much. I think that is an okay team. They're playing without their quarterback and their running back.
Oh, no. So when they snap the ball, does it just go rolling down?
Right out the back of the end zone. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is a game you should be able to just go in there and win. But the fear factor comes
from Bill
Belichick.
Other than the Jets game?
Yeah.
Have there been any games this year where the Cardinals were able to just go in there and win?
Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas is bad.
Yeah, they're miserable. They might be worse than Detroit. All right, when we come back, speaking of Dallas and Detroit, what did we see yesterday?
What are other teams that begin with a D?
How about the very strange plot twists around the Baltimore Ravens? Jarrett looks confused. We'll get into this next. It's the Doug and Wolf Show. Luke Lipinski, Jarrett Carlin, in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Welcome back to the show. Luke Lipinski, Jarrett Carlin in here on this Black Friday morning. You're right. This is normally like chaos driving here.
Are you a Black Friday kind of guy?
No.
Never?
No. I'm always in here.
But you're always filling in.
Even if I wasn't in here, though, I would not be waiting.
Did we do a show last year together at this time?
Did we do a show last segment?
Well, I wouldn't call it a show, Luke.
Yeah, I don't know. Now we sound like a wacky morning DJ team.
The biggest trend I've been enjoying with Black Friday is that it's now started Thursday afternoon.
Oh, no.
What do you mean?
Are you talking about in person or are you talking about online? Online, it's been going for 3 weeks.
No, I'm talking about in person. I'm not talking about this year, but in a normal year, in the normal circumstances, because I was never the wake up at 4 a.m. to wait online kind of guy.
Yeah.
So once they started doing it, it started off, eventually they started doing Thursday nights. Sometimes it'd be at midnight. Then they made it earlier, like 8 p.m. Now they just pretty much put, like, when you're done with Thanksgiving eating, just come get a corn popper.
A corn popper. Don't even have Thanksgiving with your family. Just wait in line outside of a store.
Just bring a thermos full of gravy to get your air hockey table.
You drink gravy?
What?
Have you ever had an air hockey table?
How else are you supposed to ingest it?
No, I don't know. Through the ears? Have you ever had an air hockey table?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
When I was younger.
Okay. Not when you were older? Not in the future?
The great Mitch Hedberg joke?
Yes.
Here's a picture of me when I was younger.
Yeah.
Every picture of you is of you when you were younger. Here's a picture of me when I was older. Oh, where'd you get that camera?
Are you going to do the whole stand-up?
The whole album. Mitch all together.
So Lamar Jackson testing positive for coronavirus yesterday.
Right.
The Ravens have...
You have to specify... In 2020? That would be odd if you brought up this story and it was tested positive for...
The common cold?
Yeah.
Okay. The Ravens have said their facility's closed till Monday. The game against the Steelers, which was scheduled for last night and is now scheduled for Sunday, at last check has not been postponed or rescheduled or anything. But obviously, if the Ravens aren't even allowed in their facility until after the game takes place...
They don't play the game at the facility. So
I guess... Have you seen the push on social media for Baltimore to have to forfeit?
Yes. A lot of it by the Steelers themselves, because they've already had a game canceled and rearranged and rescheduled, and they lost their bye week and all that stuff. So
It gets a lot worse. I don't think you're thinking as deep as this goes, but go ahead.
Well, because I know then it affects everything.
Yeah.
Then they start adding teams to the playoffs and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know who that team is that gets added to the playoffs? Baltimore.
Hmm.
Wait, hold on. Don't just that. If this game doesn't get played weekend, Baltimore makes the playoffs.
I know, but the season doesn't end today.
Okay.
That's like saying you can't, 2-2 do not make 4.
I'm just saying when I saw the
push. 2 and 2 do make 4, Luke. You're supposed to call me an idiot.
I know. I can't call you an idiot every time you're an idiot. We'll be here all morning. No,
we will be here all morning.
I saw the, well, okay, then you're an idiot. I saw the push on social media yesterday, and you're right. A lot of it was from like Pittsburgh media or I guess the team itself to a certain extent. And that was my first thought was like, okay, you know, whatever. It's they're not trying to get sick. So are we really going to make Baltimore forfeit a game?
All right, they're not trying to get sick, but how hard are they trying not to get sick? Because
that's the thing.
This deep into the season with this many protocols in place, should there be punishment for the teams that cannot follow the protocols?
If you go deeper into the Ravens story, it sounds like a couple guys weren't following protocols. Like we're seeing teams where guys, where one or two guys will get sick around the league. That just happens. That's somewhat unavoidable.
Yeah.
But where a whole team is getting wiped out like this because they weren't following protocols. Again, my first thought is you can't, don't just make them forfeit. Figure out a way for them to play this game. Except it would not only put an eighth team in the playoffs if they have to play that extra week. That team would be Baltimore, and also it takes the bye week away from Pittsburgh. So that's like it's. There's so many levels to this. It's not. That's why Pittsburgh, among the reasons you already said, but that's the other reason Pittsburgh is like, no, we're not playing this in week 18. Adding an extra team to the playoffs, which will be Baltimore, taking away the bye week from the one seed, which is Pittsburgh. Like Baltimore could end up, because they didn't handle this right, getting into the playoffs.
So
and
what,
playing Pittsburgh.
So what is the answer, though? What would you do? Would you get? Would you have them forfeit the game? The other odd thing about that would be the Steelers are undefeated right now.
Yeah.
What if they went 16-0, but one of those wins was a forfeit win?
Yeah, I guess that's, yeah.
Or what if they went 15-0 and they couldn't go 16-0 because one of their games got canceled?
I don't even know which one would be worse. I mean, I would think if you would ask Mike Tomlin or some of the Steelers players, the thing that would bother them most is having that bye week taken away in week one of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because that's not just a like, oh, we'll rest up. It's a free win in the playoffs.
Right, and it's something that you work the entire season to get that advantage.
Yeah.
But, they'd have the bye week taken away, but it'd still have the bye week in terms of the playoffs. In that they'd have
they to, wouldn't. They'd have to play Baltimore.
Oh, I see what you're saying. If they add it, it wouldn't be like they'd be making up the game. You're saying that they'd play the extra playoff game then.
It goes. So this is how it would go. Week 17 ends. So week 18 is supposed to be the start of the playoffs. And as it stands right now, Pittsburgh would get to just advance to the second round.
Right.
And Baltimore wouldn't be in the playoffs.
Gotcha.
But if
I thought you were saying they were going to make up the game in week 18.
They are supposed to
make up a regular season game.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So that's what I just described as the way it's supposed to be. The way it will be if they can't play this game is Baltimore and Pittsburgh will have to play in week 18. An eighth team will make the playoffs. Pittsburgh will lose their bye week in the sense that they get to advance to the next round. And they'll have to play an extra game while all the other AFC playoff teams are resting.
Well, but they have a young, spry quarterback, so they don't want to have to worry about them needing the rest of any kind.
Okay, that's true. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, it's sort of... And, well, do you think the game will be played? It's to me how crazy how long they wait for all these things in all the sports to make the decisions, and I guess it's because their default mindset is we want to do everything we can to get the games in.
Yeah.
So we have to want to wait till the last possible minute to decide this. You know who really must be like mad right now? And you've probably seen this, but the 49ers, who had to play with 6 healthy people and like 14 guys off the practice squad and, you know, half of the roster from Joe Montana's years, had to play on a Thursday, not even got their game delayed till Sunday.
That was ridiculous.
Not only did they not get their game postponed or canceled, but they had to play on the Thursday.
And they were false positives.
Right.
Yeah.
So now they're
Don't forget that part.
The next day, they were like, oh, yeah, every one of those players could have played if it was a Sunday game.
Sorry, you guys lost by 430 to Green Bay. If you ask me, as you just did, if the game's going to get played this weekend, I would have thought 100% yes, they're going to find a way to play it. It's the NFL. They'll make RG3 play quarterback. Gus Edwards will be the only running back. If they have enough players, they will play. But Baltimore taking the step yesterday to close their own facility and making sure to say we're not opening it till at least Monday is Baltimore saying we're not playing this weekend.
But if that's them saying we're not playing this weekend, then the Steelers should say, if you have enough, we know you have enough healthy people on the roster, literally. Maybe these are not guys you want to play. They're from the practice squad. They haven't practiced all this stuff. But if you have enough
guys, if they're on the
practice
squad, they should be practicing. It's the one thing they do.
That's right. Then you should play. If they could,
that's why Pittsburgh's mad. That's why, like I said, when I first saw this yesterday, I was like, all right, get over it. Like, it's not like they don't want to play. But then you start to dig deeper and you're like, I feel bad for Baltimore and the players that have it and the people there that have it. Like, I'm not saying that. But when they're like, yeah, we're closing the facility until Monday, so you can't make us play. And then you look deeper and you're like, wait, this would put Baltimore in the playoffs and make Pittsburgh play an extra playoff game and an extra game while everybody else is resting in week 18.
See, it's so tough, though, for us as just outside fans. Because I was just thinking, like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald and Trent Sherfield were put in the COVID-19 list.
Yeah.
If today now it comes out that they actually spread it and DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk also have it.
Yeah.
As a Cardinals fan, would you be like, whoa, let's not play this game Sunday. Let's
Yeah, I mean, well, the Patriots basically did that, didn't they? They had Cam Newton tested positive, and they were like, we're going to play. And then all of a sudden I think it was Stephon Gilmore, and they were like, we're closing the facility.
And then it wound up, that was one of the games they wound up rearranging the time.
But now the NFL can't rearrange games because we're too late into the
season. This is the last bye week, right, for people?
I believe so, but it doesn't matter. I mean, Baltimore's already had theirs.
Yeah, but take Baltimore out of it. I'm saying it makes it harder to rearrange for future weeks now in general.
Yeah, there's no wiggle room. That's why that 18th week is there, and that's... I did not think that they were going to get to a point where they would have to use that 18th week just because they have, since about week four, done a pretty good job of any time a team has some players, those players get quarantined and the rest of the team is able to play. But
you want to talk about an impending nightmare, though? You have to hope that everybody stayed very conscientious and rule following during the Thanksgiving break.
Yeah.
Because that's going to lead to a spike in cases right before the playoffs.
Yeah.
If not.
Well, Christmas, too. That's going to be right before the playoffs. I don't understand why they can't just say... Like, I don't understand why if you have to play a few games in week 18, why that means you have to expand the playoffs. Why can't you just push everything back a week?
Well, it's not necessarily that, though. It was put in place for a catch-all, sort of like, if they can't even make up those games. Like, if there's some teams that play 15 games or 14 games... to make it fair, because not everybody has the even amount of games, that they're just going to expand it.
But if you can get everybody to 16 games, which I do think is still very much in play, even if you have to use that 18th week, I would be doing everything I can to avoid adding an extra playoff team on each side.
Unless that benefits the Cardinals.
They're not going to need that. They better not need that. If they need to get in as the 8th seed, that means they got passed up by Nick Foles and or Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. No,
the no-headed monster.
All right, when we come back, the NFL's doing a lot better than college sports right now. ASU got to play basketball last night. I think U of A's playing today. But
finally.
ASU is not playing football this weekend.
They're playing Gudger College.
In fact, how is that any different for U of A? In fact, half the Pac-12 is not playing football this weekend. We'll discuss it next. It's the Doug and Wolf Show. Luke Lipinski, Jarrett Carlin in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
A brand of water!
Are you okay?
I'm
you going to be all right?
Am I going to be okay?
Well, I don't know. That seemed like an involuntary yell right there. I just want to make sure.
I think that was my spleen rupturing in real time there.
Okay. If your spleen just ruptured, then let me re-ask the question.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I got another one.
Okay. Is that what's in that lunchbox over there?
Yes. On dry ice.
I don't think that would work.
You know what's silly? Dry ice is not ice at all.
No, it's not. Okay, so ASU played last night and on Wednesday night. Did you watch either of these games?
Yeah. But okay. For the purposes of the listening audience thinking I'm prepared for this show, yes.
They don't. They've heard the last 4 seconds.
What you're trying to say.
There's no way they believe that. It was just good to be able. Look, for me, it was good to watch an ASU team play more than one game in a season. That was enjoyable. Since the football team, I still don't know when they're playing their second game.
In 3 days, they already have played more games than the football team has in a month.
And I did kind of find myself wondering. So ASU played on Wednesday night against Rhode Island, and they won that game. They went out and played against Villanova last night. It was the championship game of the 2K Empire State Classic. So why not just have them play Boston College today? You know what I mean? You've got those four teams in a gym together, safe. Why not just have them play
Just like get as many games in as you can? That makes sense.
Play each team 10 times and have a full season.
I like it. I like that idea because U of A had their first game canceled already versus NAU.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Jordan Bird.
Specifically blaming Jordan Bird for this?
Yes.
Probably did U of A a favor.
What? This college basketball season really snuck up on me. And it's really not, starting.
It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know it's Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right.
What do you think? I didn't know it's Thanksgiving?
No, I'm just saying that's college basketball has started.
I gorge myself on gravy covered items when it's not Thanksgiving. Well, you were ready for it. Maybe it's because ASU is going to be really good this year in theory, and U of A, it's sort of a very unhyped season, so maybe that's why I wasn't as aware for it. Also, it's just because the schedules for all sports have been so changing up in the air and everything that for college basketball, because Pac-12 football started so late, that for college basketball to start only a couple weeks after that sort of threw me for a loop.
The thought that really struck me watching ASU's first two games were, and I know they lost last night, but Villanova's a pretty good basketball team, number three in the country.
Well, when you think about it also, they could have played the number two and number three basketball teams back-to-back in theory.
Yeah, yeah.
If Baylor didn't cancel their game.
So my main overriding thought from those two games, other than Christopher's pretty good, is I just hope this team's able to play. I just hope all of the teams are able to play out their schedule. And I'm not real optimistic about it.
I mean,
are you?
I don't really care about any of that. I care about not having March Madness cancel again.
Okay.
Well, that's what we really want to get to is like whether it's, you know, uneven schedules, rearrange. See, they've already shown the ability on short notice to rearrange a schedule and find fill-ins and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be much less a problem than it has been in football in that, let's say that a game gets canceled, they'll be able to find a fill-in opponent somewhere. It might not be on the same day, but at least later in the week, or they could add a game in the following week.
You think it'll be less of a problem?
Much less of a problem in college basketball.
Because there's so many teams.
There's so many teams, and also it's going to happen across the country. It's not going to just be like in the NFL where, one team is affected and there's no one for them to play and they don't want to play each other on 2 days rest. In college basketball, you only play two games a week at most, sometimes only one game a week. So you have open dates all over the place where you could fill in. You don't do as much prep
in theory
as you would in football.
Yeah, that's
so like
fair.
A 2 day head start is enough time to get ready for a different opponent. Like when you think about it, in the biggest tournament of the year, the biggest games of the year, you play with only 1 day rest in between games. You play like Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday each round.
Yeah.
So you at most only have 1 day to prepare for a team. So in theory, you should be able to make last minute switches and last minute changes throughout the season if you need to.
Well, ASU has 27 games scheduled right now. I mean, if they don't play all 27, I've accepted that that's just the reality of 2020. But to your point, I mean, I don't want ASU to be like, well, we played 14 games this year and there won't be March Madness. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this team could be, get to 23 or 24 games or whatever. And yeah, I would like to see March Madness. But what do you do in March Madness when two teams are scheduled to play? I mean, I guess that's 4 months from now, 5 months from now, in theory, maybe there's a vaccine or something. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, if things are the way they are right now and you're in the Sweet 16 and one team can't play,
I guess they can't play then.
Yeah, so they're just eliminated? Advance.
Yeah.
Whew. That's rough.
That is rough, but I mean, when you're in an actual, time crunch tournament like that, I figure that that's they wouldn't let the team that they beat fill in for them.
No, I don't know. Like, if you could push it back, I don't know. I mean, we don't have to worry about this yet, but we're probably going to have to worry about it in a few months because you can't push the game back like
well,
2 days.
Well, I mean, they're doing March Madness in a semi-bubble this year, you know?
Yeah.
They're not changing sites for all the different rounds and tournament games and stuff. So you're hoping that with, like you said, the possibility of a vaccine, I don't think they'll have it by then, but and then, you know, they'll have even more testing available. They'll have the bubble. You hope that, that's not something to worry about now since there's so much more to worry about every minute of every day until then. Like, to go over to the ASU football part of it, to have their third straight game canceled, not postponed, not rearranged, canceled. So now at most, in theory, they could play as, what, three games?
Yeah.
UCLA and U of A, and then they have that extra week that they could add a game.
Well, I was under the impression they were supposed, every team was supposed to get a seventh game in the Pac-12 in theory.
Right.
But they couldn't set the rest of the schedule until you knew what the Pac-12 championship was. But now, you're right. I mean, at best, ASU, if they get that extra game, that would be four.
The oddest thing ever, man, is like, let's suppose they don't choke away that first game. Let's suppose they don't blow that first game. Let's suppose they don't break the hearts of all the ASU fans by absolutely collapsing down the stretch.
Okay.
If they are 1-0 with a win over USC.
Yeah, this would be a lot worse.
And then the entire rest of the month is canceled. Where they're sitting there in first place in the Pac-12 South.
Yeah.
How weird would that be?
I honestly feel like that would sting more. Because the thing is, ASU football with Jaden Daniels and ASU basketball with Josh Christopher have two of the most talented players they have had in, I mean, Christopher probably since Harden, just in terms of raw talent. That was the last McDonald's All-American that ASU had in basketball. I'm not saying Josh Christopher is James Harden. Got a little bit of work to do, but he had 28 last night. And then Jaden Daniels, I think he has the potential to be the best ASU quarterback since, I don't know, since at least pre-2000. But he's not getting to play.
Pre-2000, who was that?
That was his name? Yeah. Dan pre-2000.
When did he play?
Post-2000.
Okay, yeah. I thought so.
I mean, I don't even know who, like, you start to go down the list of the best ASU quarterbacks in the last 20 years.
I mean, they've had guys, statistically, that were good.
Yeah, Andrew Walter was really good.
Andrew Walter, big booty Rudy Carpenter.
Yeah, no, they've had good quarterbacks, but I'm just saying Jaden Daniels.
Even the last guy they had was pretty.
The last guy?
I can't remember his name. What am I in?
Manny Wilkins?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he has a rap career now?
Really?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Five.
Method Manny Wilkins?
Yes. Oh, see, look at that. I feel like ASU football, all of the teams, I guess, across the country are getting ripped off. I'm not trying to just single out ASU and be like, oh, this is especially bad for them.
Not U of A. They had one game canceled and then lost both their other games.
Yeah, at least you got to play two games, and this was going to be a forgettable year for U of A anyway.
Yes.
ASU, this is one of your best quarterbacks in the last two decades, and you're not even getting to play.
Yeah. And
you don't get that year back.
And here's the thing also, like, because of, it's just, I mean, the Pac-12 is really, more than any other conference, just getting ravaged by it. Every week they have multiple games that are canceled. And
three this week already.
To say that, okay, ASU should be cleared next week, be back on track, to say that they're not going to have one of those three rest of their games canceled because of their opponent.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be probably scrambling the rest of the year now. It's just a weird year. The Pac-12, I mean, they handled it absolutely the worst that you could have. They could have come back earlier, or they could have waited till the spring. Either one would have been better than waiting till the exact moment they came back, which was the exact worst possible time to come back.
And yeah, in retrospect, as it turns out, it wasn't great. But now you look at this weekend, and ASU's game was against Colorado has been canceled, and the Huskies Cougars game has been canceled, and now, as of yesterday, USC's game has been canceled. So it's like you're ASU Utah, Washington State, USC Colorado. Those are the three games. There's only six games in the Pac-12. Three of them have been canceled. Now, I'll give Colorado credit. They immediately turned around and scheduled a game against San Diego State like they were waiting for USC to drop out. But still, and Utah and Washington are going to play. Like, they're doing the best they can, but three of your teams are not playing this week, and you only have a seven-week season max anyway. So, yes, it is a mess.
Do you think that any Pac-12 team has a chance of making the playoffs?
Well, it would have to be Oregon, and they'd have to go 7-0. And I would say the biggest thing standing in Oregon's way is getting to play seven games. All right, we come back. We'll get back into the Arizona Cardinals matchup with the New England Patriots in Foxborough this weekend. That's next. Doug and Wolf Show. Luke Lipinski, Jarrett Carlin in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Cardinals GM Steve Keim. Keim time. With Doug and Wolf. Presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
All right, welcome back to the show. Pleased now to be joined by the general manager of your Arizona Cardinals ahead of their game this weekend in Foxborough against the New England Patriots, Steve Keim on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Steve, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Good morning, man. I did. Happy Black Friday.
Yeah, so I guess maybe a little less chaotic this year. You know, we're looking at the injury report with Kyler Murray being limited, and then the news yesterday that Larry Fitzgerald and Trent Sherfield are on the COVID reserve list. Just in terms of overall health, I mean, how do you feel about your team going into the game on Sunday?
Well, we're certainly banged up, and more so from a defensive front perspective, but give new guys opportunities to step up and make some plays at a number of positions. Obviously, we got wide receiver and on the defensive line, signing Domantas Peko, I think was a good addition. He's shown some leadership qualities early on. Guy's played a lot of football. I think he started 14 years in the National Football League, so he certainly brings some credibility to that locker room, and excited about what Isaiah Simmons did last week against Seattle, certainly playing his best game as a pro.
Other than Larry and Trent going on the COVID-19 list, is there any further updates in regards to that today?
No, Judge. At this point, that's it for now. And I know Tom Reed and our medical staff has done a great job staying on top of things. And hopefully that remains the same situation.
Steve, you mentioned a guy like Peko who's been in the league for a while. And you know, you see this week playing without Fitz. When you have a young coach and a young quarterback and you get to this point in the season, how important is it to get leadership, whether it's from a new guy like Peko or like a guy like Budda Baker or DeAndre Hopkins, guys that have been around in this league and had success?
Well, it's always important, especially you get to this time of the year, and every game becomes bigger and bigger, particularly when you're in the playoff picture. And, you know, when adversity strikes or times get tough, and a lot of us are tired at this time of year, players' legs get heavy, there's that voice in the locker room that certainly helps, and it becomes infectious. And the more leaders you have, certainly the better chances you have of having success moving forward.
Luke Lipinski and Jarrett Carlin here, filling in for Doug and Wolf with the great Steve Keim. And Luke mentioned that Kyler Murray was limited in practice all week with a shoulder injury. We've been talking about it all week. Do you expect him to play, to be all right this week? And also, Cliff Kingsbury this week said that last week when the injury happened, he kind of had to adjust his play calling and maybe call less runs, make him more of a pocket passer. How comfortable are you if Kyler Murray has to be more of a traditional pocket passer because of the injury?
Well, I think we all know that he can throw from several platforms and has the arm talent. As far as his current health, I mean, I know we've done a good job of, you know, rehabbing him this week, and he's made some improvements. So we'll find out soon enough if he'll be ready to go. But those are our expectations, that that Kyler will be ready to go, and the rest of our team will step up around him with those receivers lost. You know, guys like Andy Isabella and guys like Keyshawn Johnson, and Chase has continued to do a nice job out of the backfield catching the football. So expect our offense to continue to function at a high level.
Steve, you mentioned Isaiah Simmons, and he had the big interception against Russell Wilson the first time you guys played the Seahawks, but then also kind of had that breakout game in the most recent contest against the Seahawks. How much pressure do you feel that maybe he was facing getting off to a somewhat slow start to his career with everything that's been going on, and how much of his turnaround now do you think should be attributed to Vance Joseph?
Well, we've always had a philosophy that rookies come in and they're rookies until we get to about Thanksgiving and they learn how to be a pro. And that's not only on the field, but in the locker room and the preparation. I don't think that's any different for Isaiah. And some of it had to do with opportunity. There's no doubt Vance Joseph and Billy Davis have done a fantastic job with him, continuing to maintain his focus, more so on his eyes and understanding of the game at this level. So I think we all saw on last Thursday night against Seattle some of the things that he can do and how special he can be running to the football, his lateral close, his speed, his athleticism, all of those things that attracted us to him in the first place.
The team is a Hail Mary away from actually losing three games in a row right now. It's been an up-and-down season. They're still right there in the playoff hunt. But how happy are you? How do you feel the team has made progress this season? Do you think that they're on an upward trajectory still? Do you feel comfortable with the rest of the way they're going the rest of the season?
I do. You know, I the one thing that concerns me is the mistakes we've made, the negative yards, the self-inflicted penalties. I mean, those are really things to me that are inexcusable. And we have to stay disciplined and focused to eliminate those issues. You know, there are games that I can point back to, whether it was, you know, Detroit or even Miami, games that I think were certainly winnable for us that, you know, we didn't do a good enough job. But then there were some other games that we hung in there, even though we were down, and we faced that adversity I talked about earlier and prevailed in the end because we believed in each other. But it would be nice to come out and play fast and eliminate those mistakes and the penalties and, you know, really come out to a fast start and put the pressure on the other team for once.
How do you start faster, and how do you eliminate those penalties? Because that seems to be the reoccurring problem that's sort of holding them back from going on any long winning streaks.
That's it. Focus and execution. I mean, we've got to eliminate those stupid penalties that put us in 2nd and 12 or 3rd and 14, and then it puts Cliff in a bind on what he calls, puts more pressure on the quarterback. I mean, we have got to get in manageable downs. We have to be able to run the football effectively early on. So those are the things we're working on a daily basis. I have a lot of faith in our coaching staff. Though we have a very talented staff, starting with Cliff, and BJ's done a great job. I think he's done some good things making adjustments. Sean Coogler, you've heard me talk about over and over, as one of the best line coaches in the NFL. So have a lot of faith in those guys, and think we're going to get it cleaned up.
Talking Cardinals GM Steve Keim. Steve, it's not Tom Brady. It's not the Super Bowl-bound New England Patriots, but it is still Bill Belichick, and you're still going into Foxborough this weekend. Is there still some mystique to playing the Patriots in November and December?
Yeah, I mean, you're playing a Hall of Fame coach, and he's going to have a certain way of playing us, and I'm assuming it's going to include controlling the clock, eliminating our touches. He knows we're explosive offense, so if he can keep us off the field and he can chew up clock, if they can run the football effectively, you know, that's sort of certainly to me what's going to be his style. And, you know, we can't go in there and expecting to win because of our records. We have to go in and we have to be dialed in, and more than ever, we have to execute at a high level to win this game.
You mentioned that the penalties, the negative plays have affected Cliff's play calling and what he's been able to call throughout the games this season. In general, have you been happy with Cliff Kingsbury's play calling this year?
Yes, I have. I mean, he is a guy that puts a lot of stress on defenses, uses different personnel groupings, different things with the pre-snap motions. And I think if you talk to any defensive coordinator in the league, they would tell you that Cliff is certainly a tough guy to prepare for. And I think it's just going to get better and better as he and Kyler continue to grow relationship-wise. And I think the sky's the limit. We just got to continue to do our thing, stay healthy, and you know, really work our tails off during the week just to make sure that those penalties and the things that have happened in the past that have slowed us down doesn't reoccur this weekend.
Steve Keim, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time this morning. Good luck on Sunday, all right?
Thanks, man. Happy holidays.
All right, you too. That's Cardinals GM Steve Keim joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Cadillac Tempe. Experience the difference. Visit CoulterCadillacTempe.com. All right, when we come back, we'll react to some of what he just said. It is the Doug and Wolf Show. Luke Lipinski and Jarrett Carlin in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.